Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
Welcome to the 1998 NBA All-Star Game Recap, brought to you by the C4 Podcast. Now, introducing your host, Chris Klem.
The year is 1998, the day February 8th, and at 8 p.m. Eastern, the NBA took over Madison Square Garden for their 48th annual All-Star Game. In honor of this year's All-Star Game being held in New York City at Madison Square Garden, let's take a look back to 1998. Usher's Nice and Slow is the number one single in America, and Titanic rules the box office on its way to becoming the highest grossing film of all time. It's now number two after Avatar, but it was number one. TRL and South Park were just starting out, and kids were still rocking Tommy Hilfiger and JNCO jeans. Michael Jordan was about to retire for the second time, only one more to go, and the hype coming out of this game was all on young buck Kobe Bryant, who was then 19 years old. With the table set, let's now go to Madison Square Garden and the 1998 NBA All-Star Game.
I've never seen, girl, you know what I mean.
Let me take you to a place nice and quiet. There ain't no one better to up, ain't got a rush. I just wanna take it nice and slow.
Baby, tell me what you wanna do with me.
See, I've been waiting for this for so long. Making love until the sun comes up, baby. I just wanna take it nice and slow.
Now, baby, tell me what you wanna do.
Now,
the players from the Western Conference making his first All-Star appearance from the Los Angeles Lakers, Dick Van Exel. The number one pick overall in the 1997 draft from the San Antonio Spurs, Tim Duncan. He won MVP honors at the 1995 Shit Rookie Game. From the Los Angeles Lakers, Eddie Jones. His point guard is averaging over 9 assists per game this season. From the Phoenix Suns, Jason Kidd. Making his fourth All-Star appearance. From the Seattle Supersonics, Ben Baker. The MVP of the 1995 All-Star Game from the Sacramento Kings. From the San Antonio Spurs, David Robinson. Now, the starting lineup. At forward, in his first All-Star Game start from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Kevin Garnett. At forward, last season's MVP from the Utah Jazz, he's been an All-Star team selection in each of his 6 seasons. At center for the Los Angeles Lakers, Shaquille O'Neal. Making his 5th and 2nd All-Star appearance from the Seattle Supersonics, Gary Payton. The youngest star in NBA All-Star game history. At guard from the Los Angeles Lakers, Kobe Bryant. Ladies and gentlemen, the 1998 Western Conference All-Star. And now, here are your Eastern Conference All-Star. From New York, St. John's University, and a first-time All-Star from the New Jersey Nets, Jason Williams. He's leading the Hawks in scoring for the 2nd year in a row from the Atlanta Hawks, Steve Smith. Another first-time All-Star from the Indiana Pacers, Rick Smith. The Celtics' leading scorer and rebounder this season from the Boston Celtics, Antoine Walker. The 1997 NBA All-Star Game MVP from the Charlotte Hornets, Flint Rice. He's among the league leaders in assists, steals, and three-pointers. It is 5th All-Star appearance from the Miami Heat, Tim Hardaway. A 4-time All-Star and 2-time Olympic gold medalist from the Indiana Pacers, Reggie Miller. Now, let's meet the starting lineup. This prolific scorer and rebounder is appearing in his 6th NBA All-Star game. At forward, from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sean Kemp. This forward leads his team in scoring, assists, and steals. From the Detroit Pistons, Grant Hill. This is Defensive Player of the Year at center. From the Atlanta Hawks, Dikembe Mutombo. The Orlando Magic, Anthony Penny Hardaway. He's a 5-time NBA champion and a 2-time All-Star MVP in his 11th NBA All-Star game. At guard from the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan.
Come take you to a place nice and quiet. There ain't no one better to up. Ain't got a rush. I just wanna take it nice and slow.
The starting lineups featured the cast of Smokey Joe's Cafe, the longest running play on Broadway, according to Wikipedia. This is the first and last NBA/Broadway musical collaboration until my yet unproduced musical about the dangers of masturbation called Straight Into the Train, Jerking While Driving, The Eddie Griffin Story, gets made. I guess the NBA was really trying to get that coveted elderly couple / Midwest housewives / gay Broadway enthusiast demographic. So for all those people, hey, check out the exciting scintillating play of Rick Smits and Vin Baker as you watch 2 7-foot guys lug their way up and down the court and shoot 14-footers. It's the NBA. I love this game. The storylines that happened in this game, you already heard the introduction. The Lakers had 4 All-Stars, and they only made it to the conference finals where they lost to the Jazz, who had Karl Malone and John Stockton and Jeff Hornacek and Greg Ostertag, the most intimidating man with the Fred Flintstone tattoo. Actually, Brad Miller had one too, didn't he? So he was probably more of a badass. There was no dunk contest that year. It was replaced by NBA two ball, which has now morphed into the Higher Shooting Stars Challenge. I expect a check from them for mentioning them. I don't even know what Higher does. They've been sponsoring that contest for like 6 years. You would think they'd get some money out of it, but I've never gone to the store and even known what a Higher product is. I assume it's like refrigerators or something I'm not in the market for. But what if they make TVs? I don't even think about buying a Higher TV because I don't know what Higher is. So clearly, sponsoring, being the title sponsor for the NBA Shooting Stars competition is done jack for them. So that was a waste of money, Higher. Cleveland was represented that year by Cavs guard Wesley Person and WNBA Rockers player Michelle Edwards. Do you guys remember the Rockers? I went to all of zero games. We got next. I'm all for equality of women. But much like college basketball and high school basketball, I really get bored when it's not people that can do things athletically that I, as a out of shape 30-year-old, can't do or could ever do. I think that's the point. Still, I was watching the Akron game last night, and I was embarrassed by how little athleticism was going on there on the big man play. Bring back Gary Trent and Brandon Hunter. The other storyline was Michael Jordan won the MVP for the All-Star game. Surprise. He's good. There was 6 Hall of Famers playing in the game. I looked this up. Karl Malone, Mitch Richmond, Gary Payton, David Robinson, Michael Jordan, and Reggie Miller. And there was 5 guys that I guarantee could be All-Stars still. Kevin Garnett, Kobe, Tim Duncan, they're all still playing. And Jason Kidd and Shaq, who have not been retired long enough to be elected. Although I must admit, I still hold out hope for Sean Kemp. He's one of my 2 favorite players ever, along with Big Z. And I think he deserves it. I mean, it's the Hall of Fame, right? Not the Hall of how good you are. He was probably top 5 player in the NBA for like a 4-year stretch. So that alone should do it. But not only that, it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of long, consistent careers. So he should be in the Hall of Fame for being known as the guy who got super fat during the lockout. And the first NBA player to be famous for having 7 kids with 6 different women. I mean, that alone is impressive fact. The dude was more famous than his game, and he was a great player on top of that. So in terms of the NBA Hall of Fame, he should be in for being an embarrassment, for nothing else. That's my argument. Sean Kemp, I hope you get in. You're still my favorite. All right, now let's go to the
Where Are They Now
section. I have one player in this, and that is Dikembe Mutombo. Where is Dikembe Mutombo now? Hanging out at NBA games with Bill Clinton and the royal family because he's become some sort of ambassador to the world for the NBA. I think they should have picked somebody who's easier to understand. He sounds like the Cookie Monster, except toned down.
Hey, Bill Clinton, want to have popcorn with Dikembe Mutombo?
The royal family was greeted by NBA royalty, and they probably thought it was a rib, or now I'm talking in wrestling terms. They probably thought it was a joke on them. Like, hey, meet our NBA ambassador, Dikembe Mutombo.
It's honored to meet you so much. I love you.
The reason why I wanted to have a recap of the 1998 All-Star game was not only because I remember it very clearly. I was super excited for Sean Kemp, but it's probably the year I really fell in love with the Cavs. Like true blue. I mean, I was a fan, but this was the year I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest sport, the greatest team, everything. And I remember being so excited to see Sean Kemp play in that All-Star game. So when I saw the NBA was going to have their All-Star game this year, I thought it'd be good bookend to that 16 years later back in New York. Let's see what's going on our 17 years later. Now that the Cavs are back on top, superstardom, they got LeBron, Kyrie. They both played great in the All-Star game. But the more I was looking into this, it seems like bad things happened to every single player who played in either their only or last All-Star game. So basically, if you made your last appearance in an NBA All-Star game in 1998, it was because something horrible happened or something happened to you horrible in the future. And it's pretty deep. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys I can link to having tragedy. So there must have been some curse put on the court before that game, or maybe Madison Square Garden was built over an ancient Indian burial ground and it just happened to strike that one time, and also maybe WrestleMania 10 because they had a fake Bill Clinton there, and that was probably the most embarrassing thing in wrestling history, and there's been a lot of embarrassing things in wrestling history. Okay, Sean Kemp, who I said before, favorite player of all time, him and Big Z probably tied. Sean Kemp became a national joke after his ballooning weight and numerous children born out of wedlock became what he was known for more than his thunderous dunks and rebounding ability. And he also inspired my middle school website that I made, Sean Kemp's Kids. So I thank him for that. But this was his last All-Star game. Mitch Richmond got traded in the offseason to the Washington Bullets for Chris Webber, and that move immediately made the Kings title contenders and made the Wizards a joke. Well, they weren't the Wizards, the Bullets a joke. Turns out it was his last All-Star game, and he played in like five and made the Hall of Fame, so that's saying something. Vin Baker fell into the trap of alcoholism during the lockout and was never the same player again. Coincidence? It was his last All-Star game. Penny Hardaway had a severe knee injury and was never, ever close to the same type of player again. Last All-Star game. Tim Hardaway's career tailed off afterwards, but he still remained a top 10 player for another season and a half. But unfortunately, there was no All-Star game that year because of the NBA lockout, so this was still his last All-Star game. And I found out tragedy still struck him later, because during a February 14th, 2007 interview on a Miami sports talk show, so John Amici played for the Orlando Magic. He won NBA's Most Improved Player before. He was a pretty solid player, and he came out of the closet as gay after he was retired. And this caused shockwaves for all these guys in the NBA. And Tim Hardaway became internationally known as a bigot because when they were interviewing on the radio, like, hey, Tim, what do you think? Run TMC, that was great. But hey, John Amici's gay, give us a quote. And he said, well, you know, I hate gay people, so let it be known. I don't like gay people, and I don't like to be around gay people. I'm homophobic. I don't like it. It shouldn't be in the world or the United States. So clearly, he took a hard stance on that. I think he covered his dislike of gay people when he said, I hate gay people, let it be known. You could just stop at that. We got the picture, Tim. And then he said, if he found out he had gay teammates, he would try to get them fired. So it's kind of funny when you read it in context. It's hateful and bad, but it's like this guy clearly has no sense of what's appropriate to say on the radio. Spent the last 8 years trying to recover from this. And it might have even hurt his son's draft stock. He'd ended up with the Knicks. I don't know of a worse curse than that. Of course, it was his last All-Star game. Nick Van Exel was an above-average player for years after this in his only All-Star appearance and the only All-Star game he played in. Tragedy still struck him because on January 31st, 2013, Van Exel's 22-year-old son, Nicky Van Exel, was convicted of murdering his friend and sentenced to 60 years in prison. Again, this was his only All-Star appearance. The curse goes on. Rick Smits, he was a solid player for the Pacers. He was an NBA Jam. He was a big guy, the dunking Dutchman. This was his first All-Star appearance in his 10-year career. But only 2 short years later, he had to retire early because nerve damage in his feet that was caused by wearing his tennis shoes too tight as a teenager. Jesus, keep them laces loose, Rick. This was his only All-Star game. Glenn Rice also played in his last All-Star game, but nothing too bad happened. He got arrested. He got arrested for assault by beating a guy who was in his wife's closet. But since I suffer from anger issues, I'm going to let that slide. And he ended up winning a title after this. I guess his rep got hurt when he got traded to the Lakers and people stopped liking him and they thought he was a shot hungry chucker. Either way, this was his last All-Star game. Steve Smith played in his only All-Star game that year, but he had a solid career and won a title with the Spurs. He also won the NBA Citizenship Award, so he ruins my whole theory. Thanks a lot. He seems like a great guy, and he's on NBA TV, and he's one of the most even-tempered and least ridiculous sports announcers on television. So clearly, this guy, Steve Smith, is the exception that proves the rule. And now we come to the guy who single-handedly proves the theory on his own, Jason Williams. He meets the criteria. This was his only All-Star game. And then here's when things started getting bad. His career ended the next season due to a leg injury. He wrote a biography called Loose Balls, which is a terrible sexual pun. Get it? Yeah, it's not funny. He was the principal owner of the New Jersey Storm of the National Lacrosse League, which was an indoor lacrosse league. He might as well just burned his $500,000 investment in that, because clearly anybody with interest in sports would have known that was a bad idea. And my brother is a high school lacrosse head coach, so I'm more familiar with that sport than most, and I think it's the dumbest idea I've heard in my life. His ex-wife is a cast member of Basketball Wives LA. Ooh, that's bad. If you go to his Wikipedia page, he's one of the few people to have an entire section listed as legal issue. Just a quick summation of them. The first one's general, so that sets you up for what's coming. It's only getting bigger and better from here. In 1992, he was accused of breaking a beer mug over a patron's head at a saloon in Chicago. I've lived in Chicago for 2 years. I have yet to come across any saloons, but I'll be on the lookout for them. 2 years later, he was accused of firing a semi-automatic weapon into the parking lot at the Meadowlands Sports Complex. On February 14th, wow, a lot of bad stuff is happening on February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. On February 14th, 2002, killed limousine driver Gus Christofi by firing a shotgun into him while he was playing with it and giving a tour of his 3,000 square foot home. He killed him. He pled guilty, aggravated assault. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison. But then he got a DUI, which means he had another year, and he ended up serving 18 months in prison and was released from custody on April 13, 2012. So he killed a guy, got a DUI, and he only did 18 months. That's actually probably a positive if you think about it. He got away with a lot of shit. He apparently tasered a cop in 2009, so that was great. And the police said that he was visibly intoxicated with empty bottles of prescription medications around the room. Excellent. He was arrested in May 24, 2009 for punching a man in the face at a bar in Raleigh, North Carolina. Okay, so he's really going from the high life all the way from Manhattan to Raleigh. 2010, he got a DUI. That's what he got that 8 months in prison for. I tried to contact Jason Williams for an interview. His management turned it down, but then about 3 nights later, this was probably last Thursday at around 3:30 in the morning. So that would have been 4:30 East Coast time if that's where he was calling from. I got this voicemail, which I'm going to play from you now, from Jason Williams.
Yo, Chris, I got your message the other day from my manager, and they told me not to call, but I had to call to clear the air, man. I just want to say, this is Jay Will, the real Jason Williams, you know, not that white chocolate chump or that Duke dude who crashed his motorcycle. This is Capone, baby. This is the 1998 All-Star Jason Williams. And even though they told me not to call you, I just want to say, man, I get all this just for killing some lame-ass limo driver? On accident? I swear, man, it was an accident. And then, just because I get a DUI, I'm some bad guy? Man, I bet you've driven drunk before. I bet all your listeners have, too. You just ain't get caught. So that makes Jay Will a bad guy? Hell, man, I ain't even the worst net in history. Man, Jason Kidd, man, that dude was a net. Everybody loves him. He's a coach of the Milwaukee Bucks now. And he beat his wife, man. And people love that motherfucker, man. And the worst part about that is his wife, she was a dime, man. That's worse than me killing some dumbass old man limo driver, ain't it? He beat a beautiful woman. Man, she had some great titties. I mean, I accidentally killed that guy. I mean, hey, I didn't kill that guy. I mean, I shot him. But no, I mean, it was all an accident. Man, I said too much. Jay Will out. I'm looking to buy a new lacrosse team, man. If you're interested, I'm trying to buy some new lacrosse. Let me know. A 1998 All-Star. Peace.
All right, Jason, thank you for calling and airing out your side of the story. I agree, Jason Kidd's wife was very attractive. After going over all these tragedies, I think the lesson here is that the NBA should never, ever invite the cast of Smokey Joe's Cafe to any other All-Star game. Keep Broadway away from basketball. I mean, this year they had Ariana Grande, and even that was a much better move. I'd rather see that jailbait dancing around on stage in something skimpy than see a bunch of 50-year-old men singing show tunes. And I think most NBA players would agree with me. And if they don't, chances are Tim Hardaway hates them. Since this is the Cavs cast, now I leave you with a treat with every play Sean Kemp was involved in. Take it away, Bob Costas.
A look at Cleveland Cavalier forward Sean Kemp, a starter for the East this year. Kemp's former team, Seattle, has two All-Stars, and they're with Jim Gray.
This prolific scorer and rebounder is appearing in his sixth NBA All-Star game. And forward from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Sean Kemp.
Timing is off, man. You know, when you got great players like this playing out on the court, it usually takes them about 5 minutes to adjust to get used to each other's timing and rhythm. Kemp.
Hill gets a piece of the pass, and Kemp comes away with it. Kemp pushing it up the floor, takes it in, dumps it off to Hill, and the reverse isn't there, but Jordan stuffs it home.
The Jazz swept their two games during this regular season against the Bulls, beat them in Chicago and in Salt Lake City. Hill floats, doesn't hit it, but the tip is there for Sean Kemp.
And Dikembe still goes regularly back to Africa, his native country. And he's planning on building a couple of hospitals there. Raises a ton of money. He's bringing the entire NBA over there for a big All-Star game next September. Dribble, spot-up shooting. One quick dribble here and then up.
See, when Sean Kemp's dunk, I love the antics that he does after his dunks. You know, the little moves that he does.
Garnett, that's a two-point attempt. Kemp has the rebound. Hardaway set Kemp up for that dunk with a nice pass. This time it's Hardaway to Mutombo.
You have absolutely nothing to do. There are not enough tee times to keep you busy. And he said, take it from me. I'm back coaching. And he said, I hope Michael does not make that same mistake because he's a guy that needs something to do every day, like play basketball. Bob?
I was retired once, and I hated it.
As we play out the final seconds, Van Exel, an unguarded three, way off. Kemp firing ahead for Smith. He'll take it.
That's it for the 1998 NBA All-Star Game recap on the C4 podcast. I'll be back on Tuesday, back on the Cavs, back on the current season, back covering Kyrie Irving. Let's see what he does after that 57-point explosion against the Spurs. I'm looking forward to it. And thank you for listening. Rate and review on iTunes. I really appreciate it. Thanks for all the help. Shout out to Devin Connor for leaving a review. Everybody else, I'll give you a shout out. Devin, I think, is at Devin A. Connor on Twitter. Follow him. Thanks for listening. Go Cavs. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.